Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio. This is podcast 42 coming at you. This is our last podcast of 2007, and we are celebrating with a $3 bottle of wine. Thank you, Todd.
My pleasure.
And also in honor of this occasion, in honor of the writer's strike and everyone missing their favorite sitcoms, we will be adding a laugh track to tonight's episode. Ah, that was a good laugh. Good hearty laugh.
Is the writer's strike still going on?
Who cares? I think so, but I'm not missing them. Yeah, it is. It certainly is.
The Daily Show, the Colbert Report still aren't on.
Really?
Although some of those late night guys are, what, they're paying the writers to come back?
They are. Conan started it. Jimmy Kimmel started it, then Conan, and then Letterman, and then Jay Leno was the last guy he didn't want to, but then all the pressure. So they're paying, like... Yeah, the salaries of the non-writing staff, so they won't get, you know, poor, I guess.
Hmm.
Well, the writers, you know.
Wait, they're paying, they're not paying the writers to come back, they're paying everybody else to come back, and they're writing their own stuff.
Yeah, well, the only show that's on out of all of them, I think, is the Carson Daly show went back on.
Oh, I see. Because he crossed the picket line. Wow.
He crossed the picket line. The only reason he did it, and the people really aren't that mad at him, because... their show would go off the air. If they would just shut down production and be like, you know, these other shows can weather the storm. We're going to bring them back. Your show's not that strong. Mm-hmm. So it's either you come back and everything's copacetic and we go on with your show, or we just cancel the show and everyone gets fired. And when the writers come back, there's no job for you. So
people are thrilled. It is, you know, like, yeah, I don't have much feeling about Carson Daly one way or the other, but when I heard that, you know, the guy really was between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
What's he supposed to do?
But you know what they say is, like right now, I don't care because I'm not really missing anything. They said it will really hit people next summer with the movies. Like, you know, they don't have a lot of movies in the can. They tried to ramp up beginning of this year knowing there'd be a writer's strike and they got a lot of stuff written and in production. But they said the longer this goes on, you'll feel it next year when there's not a lot of original programs and there's not a lot of, like, good movies out there, you know? Like, they had to cancel already a couple of big movies, you know, starting production on them because, you know...
People who write everything creatively are on strike?
Yeah, it's for movies, TV...
How about, like, directions for pills?
Prescribing information?
How about signs?
Yeah, signage. Anyone who writes signs, like the...
There, like, will be a void.
Guys, like I said, this is the final podcast, 2007. I think, Todd, you mentioned you'd like to do a little retrospective of 2007.
Let's take a look backwards.
A look backwards to 2007. Was it a good year, boys, in the world of pop culture entertainment, or was it just another year and the slippery slope of the whole world going to pot?
Well, this is the year that talking CGI animals fought about theology and religion, I think, right? With the polar bear of the Golden Compass versus the lion from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, aren't there's a huge media swirl about both of them, one of which was, like, very pro-Catholicism or Christianity, and one people are saying is anti.
Yeah, but that was
anti.
That came out in, like, 2005.
It did? Narnia did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it did come. No, it came out 2006, I think.
2006?
There are two...
it was a horribly boring movie.
There's two sequels planned, I believe, but they're not out yet.
Did you guys see Narnia, the Narnia movie? It was... Yeah. We watched a half hour of it. I'm like, if it's going to be this slow, and we just said... See.
Yeah, I didn't think it was all that strong, and it's funny because they're comparing the box office of Golden Compass with Narnia, and apparently Narnia did really, really well in the theaters, which does surprise me because I thought it was kind of weak.
But it looks like the Christians and the Catholic League and everyone who likes to defend God and is afraid of anything that might say anything negative about God won this round because people stayed away from the theaters and people didn't go see it.
You guys didn't see it, did you?
The Golden Compass?
No, I don't think I'd... I don't know. I'm kind of tired of the whole epic fantasy movie. You know, another one of those, this string of books everyone loved and they couldn't wait, the rabid fans to the movies were made about the books. And after Harry Potter and The Hobbits and...
Did you watch all the Harry Potters?
No.
Did you watch any of the Harry Potters?
Yeah, I think I've seen about four or five of them.
Oh.
Well,
yeah.
There's five, right? There's going to be seven total, and I guess that Daniel Radcliffe is going to be in all of them.
I hope so.
And me too.
He was nude. He was nude in a movie recently too.
Equus.
Yes. Or that was a stage presentation.
I went to the movies this past weekend and I saw Dan in Real Life.
Was it good?
Ugh. I gotta say, you know, and it's terrible because I really want to see him succeed. I like him. But the movies that he's been in have been terrible.
All right, first of all, Russ, we must stop you there. What $2 movie theater did you go to see Dan in Real Life? Because considering it was out 2 months ago.
What? No, it was in the major movie theater right here.
What couldn't you get into? What three movies could you not get into that you had to go see Dan
actually,
in Real Life?
It was my first choice.
What?
I'm embarrassed.
There is nothing. I mean, there is a real...
You guys like Steve Carell.
I love Steve Carell.
And I wanted to see him do well. And when we were coming back from... Portland, we watched Evan Almighty on the plane.
Oh.
And it was like one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So I wanted to redeem him in my own mind.
You can't.
And there were moments in the, actually, he was good in it. He was good in this movie. And Juliette Binoche was in it, she's awesome. But the rest of the supporting cast, and particularly the girl who played his middle daughter, it was just like the lines were so cliched and so trite, and I was just like, oh.
He is a classic example of someone who found a little fame on TV, a good amount of fame, and took his agent's advice and jumped at the leading man roles right away. Not right away. I mean, you know, I think it also helped with 40-Year-Old Virgin help propel him. But you gotta have that self-control, that restraint, being like, I'm not the leading funny man. It's ruined many a career.
He was great in that Little Miss Sunshine.
He was excellent in that.
Was he
and
the
that
star?
Was a great movie. No.
No. And right?
He was a supporting character. What you're saying.
Right. And Will Ferrell, whatever the hell his name is, he worked his way up to the leading man role in comedies. He did a couple, you know, he was, you know, part of, you know, a supporting player. You know, you do that and then you get to that point where you can be the leading guy and you try it out and if it works for you, fine. If not, just be happy with the supporting player role. Because in most movies, the second banana, if you will, is sometimes you know the funniest guy. So
you know what? It's hard to think of a movie that was very funny, that was a comedy, where there was like a leading guy who's famous for being in comedies. You know what I mean? Like the comedic actors mature and get stale so quickly. You know what I mean?
I agree.
It's most comedies, if you think about all the ones that you liked or that you really laughed through or that you think are actually meaningful movies... They're either little-known people or people's first role as a comedic lead or comedic actor.
Right.
You know, like Raising Arizona, where you had two dramatic actors that were hysterical in it.
Right.
Good point. Good point, Todd. And speaking of good points, let's play some Maritime. That had nothing.
Full of anger that goes benediction for the benediction and the contradiction that all our souls are saved.
And we're back, people. That is one of my favorite songs. Might be my song of the year. That is For Science Fiction from the new album Heresy and the Hotel Choir by Maritime on Flame Shovel Records. Go to flameshovel.com. And Maritime, I believe, are one of the guys from Dismemberment Plan and a couple of the guys from another band that I love, and I just can't think of their name right now. I'll get back
Toto.
To it. Toto, you're right, Russ. It was the guy who wrote Hold the Line and Rosanna. We were talking about movies, talking about the best of 2007. And obviously, we were probably talking about the worst of 2007 when Russ mentioned Dan in Real Life. Were there any good movies? Anything you guys saw that you enjoyed and said, this is a great movie? There wasn't for me because I only went to one movie this year.
Did you see this? I saw Pan's Labyrinth in the theater. That was good.
Was that this year?
Was that this year? Todd, you were really
that
off.
Was excellent. Do I not know what?
Yeah. You... I think Pan's Labyrinth came out last year because it was nominated for an Oscar last year. I only saw Superbad.
Oh, Superbad. Yeah, I saw that. That was good.
Yeah, it was real good.
Yeah, I still have yet to see that.
It's good,
and,
Russ.
And a cast full of people we didn't know before that movie, for the most part, except for Seth Rogen in the supporting role.
Yeah, and well, here's the thing about Michael Cera, who was extremely funny in that. He was awesome.
Which one was he?
He's the kid.
Guy?
No, that was the other guy. He was the skinny guy. And everyone knows and loves him from, of course, Arrested Development. And he's in a new movie called Juno about a teenage pregnancy.
Pregnancy.
It's supposed to be really good.
It actually has a really strong soundtrack.
Right. Of course it does. It's an indie movie.
Well,
and like I said before, directors care a lot more about their soundtracks than the movies. Anyway, I'm a little concerned with Michael Cera getting typecast in the skinny, quiet guy doing his bit of sense of humor, which is great, but they dress him up in like the dorky clothes, and like the ads they show for this movie, he's in kind of like the hipster dorky clothes, like the goofy gym clothes, and I don't want him being typecast as that kind of guy. What I'm getting at is, if you know the movies Rushmore, the Wes Anderson movies, where it's at a point now where you're just like, we get it. The guy's going to wear a funny outfit, and he's going to do something odd. He's going to be eating a sandwich while walking through the scene, and it loses all its magic. In Rushmore, it was great. In The Royal Tenenbaums, it got a little old. And in the last couple of movies, you're like, all right, we get it. It's quirky. I don't want Michael Cera to be pigeonholed as the quirky guy.
But, like, irony is cool now, you know? Everybody,
I know.
The coolest people are wearing the silliest outfits.
Every movie I've seen this year has been bad. I just look back at them.
Yeah, there's nothing, right? Just what...
He went into his journal.
I went into the... Yeah. I saw The Simpsons movie, which was bad.
Yeah, I heard it was bad.
I saw Hairspray, which was okay. I saw 300, which actually was pretty...
I'm looking at your screen. Do you actually have a list of things that you did this year, and there's a movie category?
My wife and I keep a list of the movies that we've seen so we can remember what we saw. Because for this reason, right? When you think back on it, you don't remember what you've seen. So when we see things, we just jot it down. So
what's that other list that says positions? God, you guys keep track of everything.
Spider-Man 3, was that this year? That was very weak. Knocked up.
Spider-Man 3 might have been one of the worst movies I've ever sat through. I don't understand. It made so much. It was the highest grossing movie this past year.
And Todd is still fascinated by the list.
I love it.
And I'm going to open myself up to attack by saying that the ones that you see over there that are in bold
yes.
are ones we saw in the theater.
Wait, where's the key? Are you supposed to know that? Or yeah, at the bottom is there an asterisk?
It's not for public consumption.
What's that real long con with the word adult on the
put
top
your,
of it?
Put up your brunch spreadsheet, please, so I can see.
It doesn't go that deep.
Hey, Lisa, sausages and waffles again? Look at the spreadsheet. We had it 3 times last month. Come on. She's like, I'm sorry, Russ. I know, you know, it's just like we have a spreadsheet. We might as well use it. Breakfast _ May _ 2007 .xls. Okay?
So do you like signs like, oh, I have so much to do, I have to put the movie on the list that we saw today, and I have to make it bold because we saw it?
You can laugh all you want, but if you could right now all of a sudden have in front of you have a list of all the movies that you've seen, you would be interested in that, wouldn't you?
I guess I would stop naming movies from 2005 and 2006.
That would be one thing. I don't have it broken up by year, but wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Don't you think that's cool? And we just thought about it, and we were like, you know what? If we start doing it now...
Most of those you saw on Netflix, so why can't you just go back to your history?
Oh, because this goes back to your whole thing. Because then that assumes that Netflix is going to exist indefinitely.
Yeah. Well, but you're assuming that your interest in what movies you saw in 2007 is going to exist indefinitely, which I would venture to bet it does not. Like, when you're 54 years old. <you're>
like, no, I think that's untrue. Because if I was able to see a list of every movie I've ever seen, I would really be interested in what I saw in 1976. And like, you know, look, oh, wow, I remember that. You can smile all you want, pal.
I love it. No, I love it. These are smiles of cheers.
It is. I'm really happy I know that.
I love it.
Me too. Okay, guys. So I think the consensus is the movies really bit this year. Nothing wasn't a banner year for movies. What about music, guys? What about CDs? We play so much of it. That did anything stand out like this was my favorite CD?
I have to hand it to Russ because he turned me on to The Con by Tegan and Sara. Although I was a fan before. That is... by far my favorite album.
Yeah, and you know something? I actually, for the first time ever, I wrote in to a magazine, like the editorial staff, because in Paste this month, they did the top 50 albums. That wasn't in the top 50. I was surprised. But then I went online, and they blew it out to the top 100. It wasn't even in there.
What was their number one? Icky Thump?
Icky Thump was up near the top, and so was Bruce Springsteen. And I'm like, give me a break.
You know
like,
what?
That guy doesn't deserve to be topping.
Wasn't the National...
anymore. The National was their number one pick, yes.
Which my friend Mike loves, and all summer he was raving about it. I listened to it. It was good, but it sounded like so many other of that type of band out there. I just didn't get it. I mean, they're good, but they're not anything different, anything that just kind of like, wow.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And if you're going to leave an album that strong off of a list like that, then everything else better be a blockbuster. And that's just not true when you've got the latest Snoozer by Norah Jones on there, and you've got Amy Winehouse.
All right. This is the name that we, one of my goals is, remember we always say, or I always say, and I like to think you guys agree with me, and if you don't, we should stop saying certain people's names so they will get no more press.
You're right.
Here's the deal. I want Amy Winehouse to live a very, very long life because I'm in fear. She's on a very downward spiral right now where she might die.
Oh, you don't want her to die at the top.
I don't want her to die now.
I
don't want her to become an icon of Kurt Cobain proportion. And right now, this is where she's heading. Because she came out, and the only reason she's famous, she had one hit song, it's because she sang a little bit different than every other woman in music today. Every other woman pretty much sounds like three of other women out there. You know what I mean? She
like
had
three
this,
prototypes.
Right, three prototypes, and they fit in one. She had a little more bluesy voice, and she had a hook, No, 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 Rehab, we get it. One song, so people love her. All these Grammys. They love her more because she's a friggin' train wreck. Because she's doing drugs out in the open and she's probably going to die. So if she does die, we're such a stupid society that there will be this cult around her. It's like when Kurt Cobain died at the top.
Like, a candle that burns twice as bright burns half as long.
Yeah. I just don't want her.
Amy forever.
They'll have like the posters in the college dorm rooms of Amy Winehouse.
Because 1 year from now, she's going to be, and she stays alive, she'll have a follow-up that will come out, it will tank, and no one will care, and she'll be like every other... you know, guy or woman who came out flash in the pan. But I'm really fearful that she's going to die and she's going to turn into a cult celebrity.
Yeah.
So let's do everything possible to set her straight, get her back on track to make another middling album that all these horrible critics can enjoy.
I like the fact that Jeff is concerned about someone's health because they may not suffer the misery that he knows is in store.
Yeah.
Please don't die. I want you to be miserable someday.
Death does elevate mediocrity.
It's a great career move for many people.
Look what he did for Jim Morrison, who was mediocre at best.
Right.
And now the guy's like a legend, and he doesn't deserve it. Mm. He was a mediocre poet and a mediocre singer.
That's true. And you know what? I like to go out there, Russ, and say, you know, a lot of these idols we have out there, Kurt Cobain, Nirvana made 1.5 great albums, okay? That's it. Never mind, great album. Mm. In Utero, little warmed over. Rape Me, oh, come on.
If Eddie Vedder killed himself, he would be a lot bigger, you know, at that time, right?
Yeah. And right now, if Eddie Vedder died, he would justifiably be more of an icon because he has a catalog that is pretty impressive. You know, the first 5 Pearl Jam albums were fantastic, if you ask me. But, you know, it was... Kurt died at the great time. He was at the forefront of this new, you know, grunge thing. He died at its peak, which was great for him. And, you know, after Courtney killed him.
Oh, do you believe that's the case?
Sure.
Well.
Yeah.
A rock and roll conspiracy theory.
Okay, all right,
we're gonna have to come back on that.
Okay.
That being said.
That's right. So we will get back to Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain on Newsweek's podcast number 42. But first, Todd, we're going to play a little band out of Philly. Aren't we, Todd?
This is Pattern is Movement with Right Away.
Thank you. Oddly McTotterson.
Totterson.
Oddly McTotterson.
And that was Pattern is Movement with a little track they call Right Away.
I'm really enjoying our new voices, our new sitcom feel to the show. Like, yep. Todd was the funny neighbor who just came in, Russ, and you and I were sitting there having coffee. We were just having a little coffee clash.
Who is the funniest funny neighbor of all time?
That's a great, great question, Todd.
A funny neighbor who stands the test of time.
Okay. Or is more important. A funny neighbor who stands behind a picket fence where you can only see his eyes.
I believe that is there's only one, right?
Is that maybe. Who are you thinking
because
I will say
that. you knew his name.
A lot of people would say that Kramer was the best funny neighbor, but he has not stood the test of time. Like, I think that whole thing is just, that shtick is old now. And I think because the office culture and stuff has killed Seinfeld so much.
The office culture has killed Seinfeld.
So, I don't know.
Oh, you know what else kind of killed
his
Kramer?
His healthy racism.
His healthy use of the N-word in large groups of people. That can also
And then the bizarre attempt at an apology, I think, was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, you know.
So was there a legitimately good funny neighbor? Perhaps Boner?
Boner was very,
Richard
very good.
Richard Milhouse Stabone.
Nice. He was, you know what? He was pretty funny on that show. And that show, if you look back at all those sitcoms from that era where you had, like, you know, Full House was just wretched. But the Growing Pains, Mike Seaver was a very good actor, and he was pretty funny in that show. He had some good stuff.
How about Urkel?
No, it's not going to work. Yeah. Let's think. Nice. I think you got to go Flanders.
I was going to say yeah.
Flanders. Yeah, you got to go Flanders. Come on,
Flanders, and he's consistent.
He's consistent. You're right. Guys, let's get back to 2007. So
get some.
Todd, you're saying Tegan and Sarah, favorite CD of the year. Russ?
I like the Radiohead CD as well.
Okay. And Russ, what Canadian CD was your favorite?
The Tegan and Sarah was probably my favorite album of the year, but I really enjoyed the Weaker Than's disc. I love the new Pornographers disc.
Two Canadian bands. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, most of the people I'm thinking of.
Actually, all three that he said so far. Canadian.
Are Tegan and Sarah Canadian?
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Is Up Montreal from Canada?
Yes.
Wow.
Jesus.
The new album is great.
You are so un-American.
Stars. Yeah. They're good. They're
Remember that band, Un-American?
No.
They weren't that good.
You don't have to make up stuff, Russ. Come
no,
on.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I know you are. But anyway. You always have...
What was your favorite American band? Or your favorite American album, rather, this year?
Yeah, Russ, be a little patriotic, for Christ's sakes. We're going through a tough time here in the States. I was driving over here trying to think of a list, and I didn't have a favorite album this year. I was pretty much like, eh... I had some albums I liked. I really enjoyed the soundtrack from the movie Once, Glenn Hansard from The Frames. I thought it was a very strong album. So the album I just played, Maritime's latest, one of my favorite albums, but nothing really bowled me over.
Oh, Rilo Kiley. They're American, right?
Yes.
Now, when you say bowled you over, you mean like excellent. Put it in bold like Russ does with the movie that's on the list?
You know what's funny? When people use the term, that's a bold-faced lie. They're using it incorrectly. The original idiom is bald face lie.
Right.
But people have come, they kind of mangled it. So you'll hear more in like the media and stuff. People will say, oh, that's a bold face lie. But it's actually.
It's the same. You know what really drives me nuts when people say, I could care less?
I couldn't care less.
The proper phrase is, I couldn't care less.
I could not care less.
And people, even in writing, people who are very smart people write, I could care less.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Not that.
Well, my two big ones are I've been online. I've written letters to writers. People, once and for all, nonplussed or nonplussed does not mean you don't care. It means you're agitated, okay? It doesn't mean what it sounds like. If you're nonplussed, you're agitated about something. And second of all, if you're perusing something, you're not just scanning it lightly. When you peruse, it means you read thoroughly, okay?
Yeah.
So cut it out!
Why do people think that? Because of perusal copies or something, do you think?
I think it's just one of those words that sounds like it should be like, oh, I just perused it. Like the word has a kind of a lilt.
Like an onomatopoeia?
Yeah, maybe. It has a lilt to it where you're, it doesn't sound as serious as it should
Perhaps.
Be.
I don't like when people use literal, and that's something that a friend alerted me of, and I've never been able to shake it, is like when people say literally. And what they're trying to say is, you know, it they're trying to make it poignant, or they're trying but it's definitely not. And
I literally laugh my ass off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay, so here are some other albums that came out this year.
Okay,
that
Russ.
Was good. Joe Henry had a new album this year, Civilians.
Who cares? Next.
Todd, the Peter, Bjorn, and John album.
Half of it was good. Half of it was good, yeah.
Bright Eyes, who I can't stand. Andrew Bird had a new album this year.
Good. That was I like album, Andrew Bird, yes.
The Of Montreal I already mentioned. The Bjork album this year I thought was not excellent. It was okay.
Had some good...
Spoon's new album was great.
You know what was a great album this year that we actually all liked, or at least Russ and I definitely did, was...
I don't like Spoon.
You don't?
Go on, Todd.
What was the one I did the first sketchy review of?
Weaker Than's album.
Coco Rosie?
Coco Rosie.
That was this year?
Probably not.
I don't
Todd.
Think so.
Go to the list.
God, Todd. Todd, you know what? Life is such one big party for Todd.
Jeff, right? The Ted Leo and the Pharmacist.
Oh, that was a great album. Thank you. Great. I didn't realize that came out. That was fantastic.
By the way, Bald Faced Lie and Bald Faced Lie are just about neck and neck when quoted in Google.
Yeah,
what about the Iron and Wine album that came out this year?
I've liked the songs I've heard. I haven't heard the whole thing, but it's gotten very good reviews.
The Feist album was pretty good.
Oh, I could go 3 years without hearing her again. Okay,
Jeff,
or hearing
your favorite?
People talking about her.
Arcade Fire.
Yeah, you know.
That album was okay.
Yeah, you know what?
That album was a big disappointment for a lot of people, myself included.
They peaked. They had their great epic moment. Everybody was talking about them. And you know what? They're just going to go back into the atmosphere and kind of just float away. Are we gonna play a song, Russ?
Yeah, let's
getting?
Do it.
All right. You know what? We played a Jeff song, a Todd song. You know what? Hey, Todd, let's not play any Russ songs tonight. What do you say about that?
Yeah, it was a busy couple weeks for me.
I understand, Russ. I'm going to play a little band out of Brooklyn. This band's called Raheem, and this is the song The Same. Everybody, welcome back to Usewigs Radio. That was The Same off the 7-inch single The Same on Dimension Arts by a little band out of Brooklyn called Raheem. Check them out. You can go to www.raheemraheem.org. That's R-A-H-I-M. Check them out. Very good, very chill band. I'm sure you will enjoy them. Getting back to year 2007 recap. Lots of good music, no good movies. I want to go off topic, if we will. Philadelphia Weekly last week had an excellent series of stories about regulars, meaning being regulars in bars, being considered a regular. Like going somewhere, you walk in, everyone going, Todd! Is that something that you ever like strove towards or ever achieved and were really like, wow, this is really cool? Have you ever gone into a bar enough that you were a regular or someplace?
It's hard to imagine wanting to repeat an experience over and over again so much that you become a regular when you're not being paid for it. You know, like, I'm a regular at work. Right. You know,
yeah, but no one's happy to see you at work. Todd, you eat alone.
Like, Todd.
Todd, you eat alone. You're a disruptor.
Yeah, there's usually the guy with like the slide flute when
the
I walk in.
The only places that have that have ever been like that for me have been restaurants, places where you could take out. So like
a pizza Santa Fe place.
Burrito, yeah. I used to go over. I could walk there from my apartment
and get your sad guy burrito, right?
Yeah. So exactly. So I was over there often that I would walk in and they would just write my name down on the check. They didn't even ask me what I wanted because I was like, yeah, I'll just take that.
They're like extra tissues to wipe away your sad guy tears, and you're like, that's right. How'd you know?
Sad guy.
Chips for one.
All right. Russ goes in and goes, hey, everybody, tonight I'm getting two burritos. So like, what do you got, a date tonight, Russ? Nah, I'm just really hungry.
We're at the same place and order the same thing. It makes for a really boring list. The burrito list is the same thing all the way down.
In that instance, I just put the number of times I've been in parentheses after the listing.
I mean, how many entries can you have for chicken fajita burrito, you know? I mean, come on. So just turned it into something.
When it's
different.
Bold, it means I ate it there.
I love you, spreadsheets. Well, the thing is, guys, I love bars. I love going in bars. I love hanging out in bars. And I actually, this article kind of really spoke to me because I really wanted to be a regular in this one bar, and I thought
what
I
bar?
Was. All right, I'll tell you a little story. A few years after college, I lived with a couple guys, and the back of our apartment looked over the parking lot of Annie's in Ardmore, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Annie's was a great bar. The owner's name was Annie. She was from Ireland. Her bartenders were from Ireland. They're really just a great, great place. We would go there every Thursday night, Saturday nights, you know, and we would just get a table and just proceed to get loaded, you know, a whole group of us. And I really thought that Jimmy the bartender knew my name. I just was convinced of it. I'm like, I'm a regular. I walk in there and I'd be like, hey, Jimmy. He'd be like, hey. And I was always waiting for him to say, hey, Jeff. But he didn't say, but I still thought I was a regular. So one night we had a group of people came in, some old friends from college, like, hey, we're going to go over to the bar. We just said the bar. They knew where we were going. So they're like, oh, is this your bar? I'm like, listen, I'm a regular there. They know me. Everybody's like, ooh. So we get a big table. We sit down. There's like 10 of us. We're drinking. I go up to the bar. Hey, Jimmy, I get the beers. Put him down. And he's nice as can be. So then we're all sitting at the table. And then the phone rings behind the bar. So you hear, I look over and you see like Jimmy like answer. He goes, all right, I'll check. Comes over to the table. He walked over to another table and he asked the table something, right? He's like, blah, blah, blah. Then he comes over to our table and I'm like, oh, he's probably going to ask Jeff something. Taps, he's like, hey, there's a phone call for Brian. Are you Brian? And he taps me on the shoulder. And I looked at him and as Kelly said, I believe she's like these big puppy dog eyes, like, Jeff. Jimmy, it's me, Jeff.
Moist tears.
I'm like, and I got
that Japanese animation.
Yes, exactly.
Eyes.
Right, where my eyes just go.
Vibrating eyes.
And he blew me off. I was just like, all right, and just kind of walked away.
What was that?
He blew me off.
Ah, yes.
He blew me off and just kind of walked away. And I remember my friend Dave, who was one of the guys who was in town, he's just like, hey, regular Brian. And I'm like, oh. And I was crushed. I'm like, what do you need? I was like, the whole rest of the night, I'm like, what do I need to do? Do I need to walk in there with a cheesy hello, my name is Jeff, every time to pretend I keep coming from a convention?
But how would he have ever learned your name anyway?
Because I the first couple times, like, oh, yeah. You know, after a while, I said, hey, what's your name? He's like, Jimmy, I'm Jeff, you know. Same thing with the barber we go to. I know all their names. And I introduce myself, but they can never remember.
They have giant signs with their names above their chairs.
That's true too.
Alrighty.
Are we gonna play a song?
Yes, it's music time.
All right, let's see. Todd, I see you have a LP in your hand, and you're looking at the giant cover for the LP, the sleeve. What does it say on?
This happens to be an American Chinese with "No, No, Like That."
much rapid plans. So let's join the fisticats and make good with the end, we said.
That was An American Chinese with No No Like That.
Guys, remember you were clamoring before the show, like, Jeff, what is Merriam-Webster's word of the year for 2007? I'm like, boys, wait till the podcast. You're like, no, we need it.
I know what it is, Jeffy.
Do you really?
Isn't it, what is it, Woot?
Very good, Russ.
W-0-0-T?
Yes.
I don't know what it means.
Todd, do you know what Woot means?
Woot, here it is, or there it is?
It's an interjection, so it is in that category where it's it is... a word, W-0-0-T, expressing joy. It could be after a triumph or for no reason at all. Similar to the word yay. And it's basically a word used by, like, gamers. And it comes from the phrase, we owned the other team. So if you have a group of your dorky friends...
It's an acronym.
Yes. It is an acronym in a true sense
Except
of the definition.
Except for the zeros are supposed to be O. Why can't they just use the O's, though?
Because, you know, cyber people and gamers always like to, where there's a O, they'll put a zero. Where there's, you know, they like to mix it up to make it cooler.
Hmm.
The thing is, it really is woo-tot. Wo-tot. Because, you know, I hate when either you have the T in there for the, we own the other team. So it's really W-O-T-O-T. Anyway, I think this was a really, really dumb word of the year for 2007. I'm not part of the gaming culture.
Well, so what would you choose if you didn't want Woot?
Well, I'll give you some of the other words that they chose. And most of them weren't great. Like number
Bradulina,
two.
Could that be one?
No, because, again, that came out many years ago, and you're just catching up to that. So
Todd's like, yeah, he's about 2 years
Todd's
back.
Life is such a fanciful, just everything just runs together because everything's just candy canes and gumdrop pads.
Not
and
in my
fun.
Defense, but I really don't pay attention to the calendar years because
to our calendar,
to not to your calendar,
the
years.
Gregorian calendar.
Because as you know, my entire life, I've either been in school, then been in college, and then now a teacher. So right. To me, when I say years, they're always school years. So I pay little to no attention to like when the actual year changes.
Okay. Well, what do you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
The other words, some are weird. I mean, some are just normal words like conundrum and quixotic and charlatan.
So these could be words that have been in the dictionary for many years?
Right. But here's a new one.
They're just like a rise in popularity, though.
Yes, that's it. So blamestorm. Blamestorm.
Hey, it quixotic.
Like a bunch of people pointing fingers.
Is it pronounced that way?
Quixotic, yeah.
Because the actual...
comes from Don Quixote.
That's pronounced Quixote, right?
Don Quixote, yeah.
So why would that be quixotic?
You could say how else would you say it?
Quixotic?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No. It's quixotic. You know what? Why don't we do this?
Would be.
Russ, we're going to fire up the Merriam-Webster Online sound thingamajinga, and it's going to tell us how to pronounce it. What do you think of that?
All right.
Quixotic.
Quixotic. Well, thank you, Merriam-Webster. The thing is, Russ, sometimes when words are taken from other words in their new configuration, the pronunciation just might not work.
Yeah,
so
I'm not having it.
Yeah, it comes from Don Quixote, and where he is tilting at windmills and kind of leading a life of not based in reality. So it's kind of what it means. Anyway, so that's a popular word. The word I liked, I think, blamestorm is pretty cool. Do you know what a blamestorm is?
When everyone's trying to pass the buck?
Yes, it's pretty much you're in an office setting and everyone's sitting around.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like an office term.
Discussing why a deadline was missed or a project failed, and it's a big blame storm. I don't think it's that clever of a word. The phrase I can't stand that everyone's been using, and it's come into the vernacular, is footprint. Mm. It came in, I think, because of the environmental concerns, where people are like, hey, you know, if you're going to build that there, you're going to leave a footprint that might not be beneficial to the environment. It's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now business people have taken that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hey, if we're going to leave our footprint, we better be a little more shut up. You know, just, you know, I just, when people start piggybacking, Russ. And,
you know, charlatan is another one that wasn't considered.
Charlatan. That word's been around the dawn of time.
Yeah.
Hypocrite.
What site is this? That's
Merriam-Webster. I mean, there's
words
a real
of the year?
There's a phrases of the year, and I believe it's a college in Minnesota, Mount St. Cloud or something. Todd, you get on the Google and look this up. Who every year they do the actual like new words of the year, the most popular words. I think it's Mount St. Cloud or something like that. So their list will be coming out soon.
Oh, Mount St. Cloud. What do you do next?
You know those people up there in the northern Midwest. You know what, people? I think it's time to play another song. And this song is by one of my favorite guys, Scott Reynolds. He used to be the lead singer of the almighty band All. And this is his new little group called The Steaming Beast.
He is one of my favorite guys.
I love this guy. You know, my daughter calls, like, all little things, little guys. Like, you know, she'll be like, hey, we're my little guys. And it started with my Homestar Runner collection of figurines. And she'd be like, I'd call them my little guys. She'd be like, can I play with your little guys? And it's just come into everything is little guys. Anyway, this is Scott Reynolds and the little guys. Now, Scott Reynolds and the Steaming Beast with Angel.
Angel, you're crawling home again. Your raccoon makeup rolling down your cheeks. Angel, the devil is your friend. Your mind is grown as rotten as your teeth. Your life is dirty, man, and bargain booze. Bathtub crank and bad tattoos. Wasted 7 Friday nights a week. Angel, didn't have to be like this. You started out as pristine as your name. When your mama gave you your good night kiss, she could never know that you wind up insane. For you became her dark humiliation. There's junior choir, confirmation, large rocks and walks down Lover's Lane. Said you forget this town and hop an eastbound train. But 6 foot tall, his eyes were blue, hung drywall, did some roofing too. Made sweet love to you behind the Bethel Tavern. Now, Angel, here comes baby number 3. Like Ma ain't done enough for 1 and 2. When you threw up down on bended knee, your beer so brain thought he'd propose to you. Of course he went away, but you don't quit. You got Wick and Ma can babysit. You ain't there for her, she's there for you. Angel, why you do the things you do?
Jeff, what was that something about a steaming beast?
Yes. That was Scott Reynolds and the Steaming Beast. Ross, you chuckled at their name, and I think their name was meant to evoke chuckles.
Yeah, that's like what my dog does in the snow.
A steaming beast.
He leaves steaming beasts.
Yeah, I just want to say steaming heap. I feel like saying. Scott Reynolds used to be in the band All, and this is his new little project. Check them out. They're on suburbanhomerecords.com. It's from the album Adventure Boy. This is how we wrap it up with most shows. We do a couple things. I don't think we're going to do what you're listening to because we talked about our favorite music from 2007. So I think before we do shouts, I have to tell you, all the world, all the media is agog over the regrouping of Led Zeppelin. Why? Why, dear Lord, why do we care? Music is really bad right now. Popular music is really bad. We all understand that. But is it at a point that we get excited that 63-year-old guys are getting back together to play songs in Philadelphia we hear nonstop on four of the main radio stations? Is that something to be excited about?
And not even the original lineup?
No.
Well, that'd be kind of hard.
That's what I'm saying. Well, but
the band's done. Is Jimmy Page, is he like 63?
Yeah, must be, right? They're 63. Robert Plant's 63.
Oh, really? Because so. Plant is several years younger than the rest of them.
I wouldn't know that, Russ.
But, you know, and the funny thing is, of course, like, you know, the gig in London at the O2, I think it is, they have to, you know, they're like, oh, it's this one-off, blah, 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 blah. But everybody is speculating that it could turn, maybe it would be a world tour. And then, of course, Jimmy Page is like, hey, why don't we just do this gig and then we'll see what happens. Which to me is like, ding, ding, ding. Yes.
Right.
And like, because by their own admission, all of their previous reunions have been train wrecks. So if this happens to go off well, then it will turn into a world tour. And if it gets slammed by the critics, it probably won't happen.
If they might even have it in the works or planned, and they just want the buzz around it to even be, you know.
Could be, yeah.
Because if people think it's the only time they can see these guys, then they'll do what they can to drive the ticket prices up.
Yeah, I mean, there was a guy in Scotland who paid $170,000 for a pair of tickets.
That is amazing. But you know what? All these bands, and they regroup. Like, the Police had the highest grossing tour this year. They made millions upon millions of dollars from touring. And you got to figure Stuart Copeland wasn't raking in a lot of money the past 20 years, or Andy Summers, whatever his name is, wasn't making money. So they spent a year. They're old. It probably hurt. They went out on tour.
Probably hurt.
And they each pocketed about $15 million. And
I saw them at Citizens Bank in Philly.
You did?
And it was fairly painful. I mean, it was you know, nothing. No song that you would have not expected, right?
Loot songs by Sting?
No loot songs.
Yeah, no loot songs. But you know, just no, like, unexpected gem. It was basically the greatest hits, period. You know, they did change up some things here and there, but again, they're playing stadiums, so the sound was horrendous. You know, it just, you know, it wasn't all that.
As much as exciting. I want to be a Police hater, and, you know, when you hear one of their old songs, they were so freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, I was listening to Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. That song is as close to perfect of a pop rock song as you can get. I mean, everything about it is, dare I say, magic.
But that's part of it. Is, you know, you hear those tracks on the radio from that time, and you're like, wow, right? But you didn't have that feeling sitting in the stadium when they would start up a tune. You're like, you know, this isn't the same.
I understand. I'm sorry, we got off track a bit because we were looking for phrases, popular phrases for the year 2007.
I did some digging.
You did.
And I guess this is fairly legit. This is someone's compilation of essential additions to vocabulary. Blamestorming is number one.
Yes.
But my favorite one on this person's list, a lot of them are workplace related.
Mm-hmm.
And prairie dogging is when someone yells or drops something loudly in a cube farm and people's heads pop up over the walls to see what's going on.
That's been around for a while.
Okay.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
This is one that I like a lot. It was crop dusting. Was passing gas while walking through the office.
That's a good one.
I like that.
I farted loudly in my office this morning and the door was open, and I'm pretty sure no one heard it. But I did spend a half hour just sweating it out, being like, I really hope no one heard that. And no one would say anything, because there's three women who surround my offices. And anyway.
That's what I used to like working in a restaurant when I was younger, is that you could walk through the kitchen and fart, because it's so loud and smelly anyway. There's so many different noises and smells.
What did you do in the restaurant as a young child?
I was the farter.
It's a pleasant thought working at a restaurant and getting some meal that Todd farted on.
Little chubby Italian kid just farted on that. Go on, Renan.
Hey, Mr. Marone, get over here. Season this plate for me, will you?
We need six farts all day.
Hey, speaking of restaurants, good movie I saw here. Ratatouille was good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's very good.
Doesn't Patton Oswalt do?
Yeah, he does the voice. Does a great job. It's a very pleasant movie. Very pleasant. A nice little movie. Check that out. Todd, what other good words do you have on that list? What's osmosis?
The process by which some people seem to absorb success and advancement by kissing up to the boss rather than working hard.
Okay.
It's not bad. The seagull manager is a manager who flies and makes a lot of noise, craps on everything, then leaves.
That's pretty good. These are cute. You know what? We're not going to give out the website where you got this from, though. No, we're not. That's what we do. We take content, present it, and we don't tell you where you get it from. And no one's going to do anything about it. Guys, it's part of the show we like to call shouts. Shout outs, if you will.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Hooray! We will start with Russ. I know you were very busy this week, and you probably didn't have time to get your vocal cords ready to shout, but did you?
No, that's true. I have no shout. So I'm going to shout out the holidays. Happy holidays, everyone.
Oh, that's so gay. You know what? I really should shout out a product I really love and I really use a lot. That would be Microsoft Excel. Thanks a lot.
I'd like to shout out rainbows and puppies. Awesome. Actually, I want to unshout.
Oh, wow.
This is the first time that we've ever unshouted, but this is something that we shout.
Let's play the Take the Shout Back music. All right, now, Todd, go.
This is something that we talked about and shouted out a year or two ago. You know how I am with years, but I was very much into, I think Jeff was as well, you may still be, into e-music. And e-music is like a train wreck now. It absolutely went to Suckville.
Off the rails.
reason being, or many of the reasons being, some of which I'll explain to you, is that they came out with a new download manager. And if you upgraded to that and you use that, it doesn't work. And now they don't support the old one as much or as well or at all. So their new one doesn't work. Their old one is in limbo. And I don't know if you noticed this, but they don't get new content almost at all.
I know.
You know, I mean, for about maybe a year and a half ago, they were getting the top independent artists and the new albums right there on the homepage. Very excited about it. Now it's just a stale group.
I'm worried, Todd. I agree. I think something... There must have been some sort of under-the-table dealings with the big record companies.
Hush them up?
Yeah, there must be something where, like, iTunes and these other places went after these bands, and these smaller labels, and said, you know what, give your stuff to us.
Well, it's terrible now. And I'm a long-time user, and I stopped my membership. And I had to stop my membership by just clicking a few buttons with a mouse. But to make it more dramatic, I just took a blank piece of paper and I tore it up.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I needed that tactile sensation of stopping my commitment.
They are getting hammered because, you know, for a long time after I stopped using it, I would get emails like saying, come on back and get 25 free downloads, whatever. I got one today that said, come on back and get 75 free downloads just to come back. That's almost like a full month.
Yeah.
So they really must be hurting to get people back.
Well, it's a terrible selection of music, and their download software does not work.
Wow.
So that's a glowing unendorsement for them.
All right.
Unshout.
Unshout. E-music, you're dead to us. You're e-dead to us.
You're F-music.
Wow. Hey, Todd, let's not go crazy, all right? Jesus, Todd, we're not putting a hit out on the poor company.
Is all of MP3 back up yet?
Is that the Russian site?
There are other ones.
Yet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You found other ones?
I did.
What are they? What kind of...
There's a whole website that actually has a list of them, and you can like bounce from one to the next.
But you don't know if all of MP3 is back up
It's
yet?
Not.
It's not.
It
it's
won't.
Not.
No. What are you paying on average for a song now? Two rubles?
Kopecks.
Kopecks, is that what you're paying?
Yeah, it's about 3 cents. 3 American cents.
I got you, Todd. I got you. You're always one looking for bargains online. Hey, you know what's cool? You can, I know a lot of people do this, and this is another thing that I'd like to call, hey, you've been doing it for a long time, but I just found out about it. Let's say you're buying something on Kodak Gallery, you're ordering pictures, right? And you put your pictures in, you get them framed, get into the checkout, and it gets that little box, hey, do you have any special promo code? And you're like, no, of course I don't.
Oh, yeah, there's websites out
All
there.
You do is just open up a website window and type in Kodak promo code.
What?
And there's going to be a website somewhere that will give you a list and say, use this promo code, get 20% off.
Oh.
I did it, and I'm like, this is going to be sketchy. You know, I'm going to go to this website. I went to, typed in Kodak promo code. First website, first listing says, punch this in, you'll get 20% off any order. I'm like, yeah. Copy, paste, open up the new window, paste it in, boop, accepted it, 20% off my order, placed the order, and Ka-ching, can I say that? Isn't that like a cute way to say it?
My uncle just lost his job from downsizing at Kodak.
Oh, Jesus. Did he really? Good. I hate your uncle. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Because whenever you're on a website and it's like, hey, you got a promotional code? You're like, why don't I? Like, it's crap.
I want to be a VIP.
Yeah.
But then you can find it. You go out there, you can find it.
Just do a search.
It. Spend the extra minute opening up a new browser window in Google, and I guarantee you'll have good results.
Nice.
But that wasn't my shout. That was kind of a shout websites that do that for me. My shout is simple. It is I just did a post on usewigs.com about poster art and rock poster art. I love rock posters. I like the whole art behind it. And one of my favorite guys out there right now is Dan Stiles, STILES. If you go to danstiles.com, he has a wonderful collection of poster art, like really nice.
He is the artist or the curator?
He's the artist. He did all these posters at danstiles.com. And they're like current bands. So TV on the Radio did this amazingly simply beautiful Sigur Rós one, no longer in print, but it might be coming out again. Go to danstiles.com, and it is just, look at this art, guys.
His stuff is sharp. It's based on like the old cut and paste poster designs of yesteryear.
I love it.
And it's he did the Seattle bumper shoot. Yeah, that's cool.
He does a lot of great stuff. Guys, that's it. It wasn't much of a 2007 wrap-up. As always, guys, we kind of go off course a little bit, off track, and we kind of go with this tangential stuff. We did learn a lot about Russ and the way he organizes his life, which I thought was nice. So we get a little more in touch with that. A lot of people were wondering about that. Little recap. There were no good movies, lots of good music. We want Amy Winehouse to live forever. The new words from this year sucked. And anything else, guys?
Happy holidays.
Oh, yeah, and Russ wants to wish everyone a hearty and happy holiday. And Todd, happy rainbows? Is that what you
mean? Happy rainbows and happy holidays.
Happy rainbows, happy holidays.